In the last session, when we finished with verse 12 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we finished what I believe is one of the most difficult sections of the word, and yet after we had worked it down to the minute detail with which we worked it, it appeared very simple and gave us tremendous information. And the conclusion of that section with verse 12 can simply be stated as the continuing and ultimate doom of unbelievers. Now tonight we begin with verse 13, which sets in contrast the continuing and ultimate salvation of believers. That's how beautiful it is. You see, we've just finished that doom of the unbelievers, and now God's word gives us the greatness of what you and I have in Christ Jesus. And that begins with verse 13. And verse 13 and 14 of 2 Thessalonians are one verse in the critical Greek text. And so I have put them together as one verse in our teaching tonight. I'll read the King James to you, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, comma, brethren, beloved of the Lord, comma, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, capital S, and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, comma, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word but is the word day, D-E, and I'd like to put the word now in parentheses, but now, but parentheses now, end of parentheses. I will give you a line of truth, show it to you. To me, it's simply electrifying, because we're going to see God's will from before the foundations of the world or before the overthrow throughout all eternity in this one verse. For the believers, it's that big. And I'd like for you to write the following truth down, but parentheses now, end of parentheses. For the following reasons, we must continually thank God. One, God loves you. You see in verse 13, put your finger on it, beloved of whom? The Lord. Number two, God chose you. In verse 13, chosen you, hath from the beginning chosen you. Two, salvation. Number three is God saved you. Number four, God sanctified you. And number five, God glorified you. In verse 14, obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Almost the whole plan of God from the time of the overthrow throughout all eternity is in this one verse of scripture in the Greek, two verses in the King James. It's almost breathtaking. It is absolutely electrifying. Boy, how God does that. Just fantastic. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The words that they selected when God told them what to write, to put all of these great truths so beautifully in this one verse, is just almost too big for the mind of man to understand. But we, the we is all believers from Pentecost on, until the gathering together, because Thessalonians is addressed to the church, not just in Thessalonica, but to all believers of all time, from Pentecost on, are bound. The Greek word is the word O-P-H-E-I-L-O-M-E-N. It's the present tense. And are bound is not a good translation. It's in the wrong tense. The are bound equals must continue. But parentheses now, end of parentheses now, we must continue. Being in the present tense, it gives the sense of continued obligation. We must continue to give thanks. To give thanks is a present infinitive. And the word thanks will be real significant to those of you in past church knowledge of Roman Catholicism or Episcopalians. It is the root word of the Eucharist. Thanks is Eucharistio, Eucharist. And when they talk about Holy Communion, they talk about it as the Eucharist. But now we must continue being obligated to give thanks always. Pantote, always. P-A-N-T-O-T-E. To or unto God. Theo, T-H-E-O. For is the preposition peri, P-R-I, equaling concerning you, comma. Now, if you look in King James, there's no comma after brethren, but there ought to be one. Should be a comma after you and a comma after brethren. Concerning you, brethren, comma. And to have a brother, you got to be born again. Then comes the parenthetical phrase, beloved of the Lord. The word beloved is the word of which the root is agapeo, but this word is agapemenoi. And this word is stronger than the word that you would use as a brother in a physical family. Because God does a better job than the physical family can do. And yet I can speak of my physical brother as my brother, but this word, beloved, is stronger than any physical family brother. Therefore, you read, for you, comma, brethren, comma, beloved of the Lord, loved more than any brother in the physical family. The word of is a preposition hupo, H-U-P-O, and it's the genitive of possession. It's beloved of the Lord. It's kurio, K-U-R-I-O-U, which equals God, beloved of the Lord, God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, you have the same general truth. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And the word there for God, of course, again, is the word theou, genitive, in 1 Thessalonians 1:4. Beloved of God, this Lord here is not the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Lord God. Preceding the phrase, you praise to whom? Right? Now, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning. You got God before it, you got God after it, you got the Lord in between it. That makes it God. He's talking about God. He's not talking about Jesus Christ. Then this word in King James, because. It is the word hoti, H-O-T-I, which equals for that. Reason, for that or for that reason, because of that reason. God, Theos, T-H-E-O-S, from the beginning. The word for from the beginning is the word apo, arches, A-P-O, A-R-C-H-E-S. The hath and stuff. Scratched, you see. That's why I didn't put it in the reading when I read it to you here. Because God from the beginning chose you to salvation. This God from the beginning. See, we're beloved of God for that. God from the beginning chose you. Reason. we're beloved of God is because God did what? Chose us from the beginning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Remember the words, before the world unto our glory. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Chose us in him before the foundation of the world. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world did what? Began. In Thessalonians, we had from the beginning. And you have to tie this from the beginning with these records that I've just given to you, from the foundation of or before the world began. And the word for foundation is the word katabole, katabole. The verb form is katabalo, katabalo. Now, it's interesting that this word is still used in biology today. This word is found in the word metabolism. In biology, the word katabole means destruction. And in biology, they take metabolism and they divide it into two categories, constructive metabolism and destructive metabolism. And the constructive metabolism they call anabolism, anabolism. And the destructive metabolism in biology is called katabolism, katabolism. All the medical books have these words in them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, persecuted in verse 9, but not forsaken. Then the next two words, cast down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4, 9. The cast down is the word katabole, meaning destruction. It's used quite a number of times, but I'll show you two of the greats that'll just set it for you, that there'll be no question about it. Chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. The word cast down is katabole. From before the foundation of the world literally means from the time of or before the overthrow, the destruction. And that's the record of Genesis 1-2. So sometime between the beginning of Genesis 1-1 and Genesis 1-2, when occurred the overthrow, from before the overthrow of the world, not foundation. I can understand foundation because after it was overthrown, he had to rebuild to what we have today, the foundation. Understand it, but that's not how you can go literally on this. It's from before the overthrow, the destruction. And then Thessalonians working this in here because God from the beginning. From the beginning when? Before the overthrow. Chose. And this word, chose, is the Greek word hireomai. It's in the middle voice, which literally means chose for himself. It's a tremendous thing. Yeah, beautiful. For that reason, God, from the beginning, before the overthrow, chose for himself. That literally means that God selected out the accepted from the rejected before the overthrow. And the reason God could do this is because of his foreknowledge. Therefore, he could foreordain or predestinate, because he knew before the overthrow that the day would come that you would believe, and that you would not be among the doomed, but that you would be among the body of believers with a continuing and ultimate salvation. To salvation, it says in Thessalonians in the verse. Chose for himself you to salvation. The you is a collective noun. To is the word ace, unto, all the way, all the way. That's why when I gave you the definition, continuing and ultimate salvation, all the way. We are saved now when we're born again, but we go all the way to the salvation, which is the gathering together with the new body, fashioned like in his glorious body. That's why this word salvation is from the root zozo, S-O-Z-O, meaning whole. The word here used means not only rescued from, but restoration to wholeness, W-H-O-L-E-N-E-S-S. This section in here sets in contrast with the death and destruction that terminated with verse 12. Beloved of God, for the reason that God from before the overthrow chose for himself you to go all the way with salvation. Fantastically beautiful. How? Through, which is the word N-E-N, meaning by means of. Sanctification of the pneuma is a phrase, and corresponding with that phrase is belief of the truth. The word sanctification is the word hagiasmos, H-A-G-I-A-S-M-O-S, and we should literally read it by means of the setting apart of our spirit and belief of the truth. Belief of the truth may mean, quote, faith, end of quote, which is created by truth. In other words, you hear the truth of God's word, you believe it, he creates that faith within you, which is the sanctification, the setting apart of our pneuma, which is, we know, his gift to us, but it's our pneuma, the new birth, Christ in you, wherein is wrapped up all the nine manifestations. That's the end of that great verse 13 in the King James. Then comes 14, whereunto. The text again is eisho, E-I-S-H-O, long O. Unto which. And these two words, whereunto, unto which, looks back and all the way forward. Looks all the way back to those born again on the day of Pentecost, all the way forward to the return of Christ. Unto which, sanctification of the pneuma and belief of the truth, unto which, see, that's salvation. That's salvation by means of. How did you get it? And what is it? Setting apart of our spirit, which is his gift to us, his spirit to us, God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Unto which looks all the way back, all the way forward, he, God, called you. God called, chose us before the foundation of the world, and yet God called. And God's call comes by way of His Word, the belief of the truth. You hear the Word, you believe it. To the end that you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, God raised Him from the dead. It's how He called you. By is the word dia, through our gospel. Called you through our gospel. Our is God's message which we present. That's why it's our gospel. The word gospel, as you know, is good news. There's different kind of good news. This is the greatest good news of all good news. And this word gospel, by it God means for the realization and attainment in time, what God planned throughout all eternity and for all eternity. Our gospel in Romans chapter 10, in verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. God calls by the preaching of that gospel. This puts a tremendous responsibility upon our shoulders, because the preaching of the truth of this word of God makes possible the realization and attainment in the present time what God had planned for all eternity. To the obtaining. It is, again, too, is the word ace, with a view all the way unto. All the way unto. Obtaining is full possession of God's purchased possessions. It says in Ephesians 1, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. That's the obtaining, same word. Purchased possession, same word as full possession, obtaining. To the obtaining, to the full possession of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of the glory is a genitive singular. The glory that God had, He gave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And with the Lord Jesus Christ in us, we already have God's glory. We're already seated in the heavenly. But the fulfillment of that in practice will be only with the gathering together and at the time of. That's the glory. And that word glory is with all the beautiful perfection of the greatness of our God. That glory is like the Shekinah glory of the Old Testament, the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel and that separated out the enemy from them, that the enemy could not get to the children of Israel without burning to a crisp. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, He just covered them. That's the glory. The glory, with the view all the way under the full possession of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this becomes so terrific when you realize that Jesus Christ is our brother. He is already seated at the right hand of God, been ascended. We have not ascended. He is already seated there. He is the mediator for us. He is our intercessor. He is my brother. God gave Him a name which is above every name, which is already mine in Christ Jesus. I have His name spiritually stamped within me, upon me. And His name is above every name. And in the Word it says that at the name of Jesus every knee must bow. To the full possession of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that gives his salvation with all of its completeness. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, because God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Salvation in its completeness by our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his own kingdom and what? Glory. God called you unto his own kingdom and glory. Full possession of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given to him by God Almighty. And that is our salvation in all of its completeness. And a number of weeks ago, I set before you the usage of the words Lord Jesus Christ. Does anybody remember them? Do you have them in a synopsis form that you can tell me what it means when the Lord comes first before Jesus or the word Christ? Who's got it? What's it mean? We better memorize this stuff instead of just writing it on paper, okay? And so you have here the continuing and ultimate salvation of the believers set in contrast with that which preceded, which was the continuing and ultimate doom of unbelievers. And for the following reasons, we continually thank God because God loves us, God chose us, God saved us, God sanctified us, and God glorified us. And he knew us before the foundations of the world and began to pattern this thing throughout all eternity. Kids, this is just unbelievably beautiful and fantastically accurate, and it's just the greatness of our God. I'm constantly amazed at theologians, how they mince words and double, triple talk words, and nobody knows what they're talking about. They don't either, but everybody believes that what they say must be true. This great theologian tells me that in verse 13 that I've just taught you, we got all three persons of the Trinity. He says, this ascription of the glory to Christ, which Isaiah 48:11 declares Jehovah will not share with another, is clear testimony to Paul's belief in the deity of Christ. And everybody just reads it, lets it set. To me, it has to be spirit of slumber that has just so darkened the minds of most people that they just cannot see. He makes the statement in here, beloved of God and beloved of the Lord. He makes the statement that the second Lord there is Jesus Christ, and therefore he identifies us with Thessalonians 1:4, beloved of God and beloved of Christ in verse 13 tonight are identical, therefore Jesus Christ is God. It is the great verse that they use in the theological world to prove Jesus Christ is God. I want to show you Isaiah 48:11, where he makes the statement, Paul's belief in the deity because Jehovah declared he will not share it with another. I want you to look at Isaiah 48, verse 11. I'd like to open with the first verse and let you see who it's addressed to. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of what? Israel. And he goes all the way through, gets to verse 9, for my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off. God was embarrassed to cut him off because then he'd get a bad name. So he just put up with him. Israel, house of Jacob. Verse 11, for mine own sake, Israel, house of Jacob, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Another what? House of Jacob, house of Israel. So he's talking about. And the glory of that mentioned there is glory that he gave to the house of Jacob and Israel that he didn't cut them off. I will not give my glory unto another, but to Jacob or the house of Israel. Has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ whatsoever. And when he says, this theologian says, this ascription of glory to Christ, which Isaiah 48:11 declares Jehovah will not share with another is clear testimony to Paul's belief in the deity of Christ has to be an out and outright lie. It is what he says, it's not what the Word says. Because that he's not going to give the glory to anybody else in context is to Israel or the house of Jacob. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Well, that's the continuing and ultimate salvation of believers from two verses in King James, one verse in the Greek text, and that's all we're going to do tonight.